10, chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Verse 13, Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Verse 15, And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Verse 17, Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. Verse 18, And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant and gracious blessings to the reading of His holy truth. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Your beloved Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the portions that we've been able to read in the last few weeks. And we pray, Father, that this is an opportunity to look at some very practical insights that we have here before us in the book of Judges, not only of history, but also His story, Jesus Christ. And in His name we do pray. Amen. A very interesting thing, and in order to give you a little bit of background, if you have been reading from the Robert Murray McShane Bible reading plan, we've been in Judges for the last few days. And Judges kind of moves on, and it goes in, as most people know, it goes in cycles. They're going about their business, and then they start sliding into sin, and then they are in trouble with the inhabitants of the land. They need a champion. They cry out unto God, and God sends them a champion. And this particular section that falls on today's devotion, I thought, was just an interesting one, because in the Old Testament, whereas we have been preaching Christ crucified, and we should, but there are very practical insights throughout the Old Testament as well that allow us to reflect not only on the Jesus Christ of Scripture and as He has revealed Himself, but the Jesus Christ of our salvation, and how we might live to please Him, to serve Him, and to glorify Him. Here we have the children of Israel following the days of Joshua, as Moses could not go into the promised land after they were delivered from Egypt. They were given the law, and Joshua takes them across the Jordan. And in that, as Joshua's name is basically Jesus' name, will save. is Yeshua. Yehoshua is Yah, or Jehovah, is salvation. And here is Joshua as a type of Christ coming after the law and leading the people into the promised land as Jesus himself manifested in the flesh and led us into the promise of life. As they went into the land, Jesus brings us into life. And as Joshua is dead and he charges them, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then we go through this period of time of the judges before there are the kings. And we get to this particular portion, and it's really interesting because here in verses 6 and 7, and verse 6 in particular, the anger of the Lord is in verse 7, but verse 6 I want to read again. "The children of Israel did evil again," I'll emphasize that, "in the sight of the Lord. And they serve Baalim," that would be many Baals. Baal is would be a false god or an idol, but Baalim would be many of them. Ashtaroth, which would be the deities, particularly female deities of the groves. They were worshipped among the trees and in the hill places. "The gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served them not." And that's interesting that here they are serving the very gods that Jehovah God has delivered them from in the surrounding areas. In verses 11 and 12, God speaking to Israel, saying, "And the Lord said unto the children of Israel," verse 11, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand." Out of each one of these places, time and again, as God mentions the very ones that he delivered them from, are the gods that they chase after. And here we have an interesting parallel that actually goes along with some of our studies. As Sunday night, we're studying through the book of Acts, where we see the birth of the church and its growth in its early years. And it's maturing, and the gospel is being spread out, not only to the Jews, as Paul said, to the Jews first, in a very practical way, these people who know the Word of God, but then also to the Gentiles, also to the Greeks. And here in Acts, it parallels that which Israel's going through as they're birthed in their infancy, coming out of Egypt, and then being led of Moses, and the miracles, even in the wilderness, by the hand of Moses, they're given the Word of God, but they're taken care of in such a way that even in their utmost rebellion, not going into the promised land, God took care of them. When they went through the wilderness, their shoes did not wear out on their feet, and their clothes did not get worn out. And the cloud that covered them by day, and the pillar of fire that gave them light for night, God's ever presence was with them. And likewise, we saw that in the first few chapters, up until chapter 6 of Acts, where the providence of God was taking care of the church and granting them favor, because that's how salvation works. Our own salvation, like an infancy, it's no coincidence that we're called in our salvation being born again. And as we are infants, God takes care of us in His providence. But as we start maturing, we see Joshua, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, Joshua going forth in battles, because there is still a certain battle that once we're saved, there are those battles against the flesh, battles against sin that we must wage warfare against. And Jesus Christ, as He is manifested in our lives, when we're first saved, rather than just infancy, as we're growing in grace and strengthened in faith, Jesus Christ is leading the charge in all those battles, and it's what a blessing it is, and our eyes are upon Him. But as we mature, the Christ who has ascended to His throne, who is not visibly seen, but is taken by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight, we're like as in Judges now, The realities of the flesh, the realities of the world, and the realities of sin are still there. But we still must trust in the same Christ. And the pitfalls that befall Israel are before many people, and we can see that today. These days there's so much oppression that surround us in oppressive, sinful ways that would cause us to compromise. And there are certain things that are pressing against the church these days that never were even any kind of a problem 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. And so we could see that we are ready for King Jesus as that King David who is to come. Verse 18 speaks of, and the people and the princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." There are some commentators that would suggest that that was Saul, the first king of Israel. I suggest to you, no, it's David. And David being the prototype or the foreshadow of Jesus Christ. This man that they were speaking of is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need now. That's where our eyes are upon, is we want Jesus to come, Him to return. And as He is ruling and reigning upon the throne of His father David, in that spiritual sense, we want Him to rule and reign over all for good now and forever. And this is what verse 18 speaks of. And so as an encouragement, we face these things. As I confessed to you earlier about my, that in some areas my disciplines are really great. And then in other areas they seem to be slacking. And you'd think after this many years and after now ministering, and even with the power of the Spirit ministering to me in my times of study to bring forth the Word in such a way that it is a joy even unto me to be able to study these things and see life for what it truly is in Jesus Christ, I still have those moments when the Amorites and the Zidonians and their idols start moving me to want to desire them, and my disciplines seem to lack. And that gives us an indication that even more so should we be disciplined in these days. They left the law, is what they did. If you'll notice, one of the primary problems with the people that is recorded in the book of Judges is that you don't see very much of the fullness of the law being practiced by these people. As at least spiritual disciplines that in Deuteronomy, when they stood upon Mount Ebal and about Mount, what was Nebo and the two, and they yelled out the blessings and the curses and all this one to another, that if you did the law, you would be blessed. If you did not, you would be cursed. And they couldn't even carry that with them. So the means that God has given us by prayer and the Word and in fellowship and in gathering together, I want to encourage even people that I'm hearing about that don't have a good, solid grace church that they're going to, and then they forsake it altogether, forsake fellowship. I say, you know what? You need to be the light shining among them, because you're not going to do yourself any good or them any good by being separate from the brethren. The stubbornness and the obstinance of not going into any fellowship at all and being separate from that is a crying shame, because it shows nothing but pride and judgment. And judgment in the harsh way. I'm being a judgmentalist or a judgmental person upon this group of people because they don't believe every jot and tittle as I do. Then that causes me to end up standing back with my shoulders back and my chest puffed out like the cock of the walk or the rooster in the morning, because they're not, oh boy, they don't have the doctrines of grace down pat, and they don't have the sovereignty of God or the glory of God as I do. Well, there's a lot of people that have it greater than, much greater than I, and are walking with so much more humility. And I have to be able to humble myself and say, Lord, if I know these things, could they be a benefit unto those things that I rejoice in? And I know a man isn't saved by the doctrines of grace. He's saved by Jesus Christ alone. But these things clarify so much. and maybe they might come to them. And so those are things that we're facing. And it's only in looking at disciplines through the lens of Jesus Christ and thanking Him for even where I fail, and when I fail, that He picks me up again, and we look forward to that. Though it says that the children of Israel, the children of the Father, whom Jesus has saved, did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Though it says that in verse 6, we look to verse 18 and it says that the people and princes of Gilead will say one to another. If they're not in church, any kind of church, how could they say one to another? How could they say one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." We must be gathering together as one of the disciplines, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as others are in the habit of doing, but provoking one another unto love and good works, to be in the Word daily, be in disciplines with the family, in prayer and in practice, and loving one another as Christ has loved us, because by that all men will know that we are His disciples, so that we can rehearse together. There is a man who will fight against Ammon, and His name is Jesus Christ. Every Ammon that is oppressing against us will be defeated in that day and put down. And the glorious thing about that is we shall be seated on thrones in that day when judgment is pressed against Ammon. We will be judging Ammon and saying, "Jesus Christ, I don't judge, I only sit with Him as witness and testimony that His judgment is so, because while I was on earth and He saved me by His grace, judgment began in the house of the Lord." And every day begins with a crisis, because judgment comes, and because I see Christ lifted up and crucified, then as justice and righteousness are displayed in His crucifixion, we know the love of God most certainly. Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, what a tremendous blessing that the passage in Judges gives us. It was so discouraging to me knowing I was coming to Judges, Lord, but You show me so much more that is there. Give us so many good things, Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. May we even see Christ in every passage of Scripture, that we might be the children of God. In Jesus' name.